Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. We would love to hear from you. So today we're taking your questions and your comments from our viewers. If you're watching, it's Monday, and we are here very alive. Give us a jingle at 1-800-221-9460. If you are calling and you are outside North America, you can reach us at 205-271-2980. You could always send us an email with a question or a comment to Jim and Joy at EWTN.com and check us out on Facebook. Well, the question for today's show is this. The church in the United States is in the midst of a Eucharistic revival. How are you experiencing Eucharistic revival in your own personal life, maybe in your parish, maybe you've had some special conferences, some special teaching series, maybe your parish has started Eucharistic adoration during that time frame. We're 2.5 years into the Eucharistic revival, and we're going to talk also about the Eucharistic Congress that is happening, and that will be live streamed right here on EWTN.
And it'll be live streamed, but it'll also be live. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be starting that coverage. I believe it starts on Wednesday, so
yes,
it's great.
The 17th through the 21st.
Yeah. But we wanted to share, of course, what took place over the weekend, the assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump. So everybody's thinking, speaking, praying, and praying for awakening in our country and renewal within the church is an ongoing prayer that we pray every day. And the nation needs it more than ever. The world needs that more than ever, awakening, to have their eyes open, to have a love and a holy fear of God. And so we're praying for President Trump's full recuperation. We thank God for his life. And I just want to say a quote from Donald Trump after the shooting. He said, "Thank you to everyone for your thoughts and prayers yesterday, as it was God alone who prevented the unthinkable from happening. We will fear not. God alone who spared me this." So that's what he's saying. Melania Trump, of course, Donald Trump's wife, she made a statement that was absolutely wonderful. She really focused in on dehumanizing people.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Republican, Democrat, whoever. We dehumanize people. And if we dehumanize them, then we can attack them. We can kill them. She says, "When I watched the bullet strike my husband, Donald, I realized my life and Barron's life were on the brink of devastating change. A monster who recognized my husband as an inhuman political machine." So that's all he is, an inhuman political machine. If he's only that, we can assassinate him. They would have eliminated his passion, laughter, ingenuity, love of music, and inspiration. And so she's speaking, these are the dimensions of him. You might just see him in this way, or you might think he's arrogant, you might think he's whatever, but this is how I see. This is my husband. This is a human being. And I'm sure it's true with the Bidens as well. We need to pray for our nation, for our President Joe Biden, for Donald Trump, for all political leaders. And lots of times, you know, we could badmouth political leaders, you know. And so it's just like, gosh, let us do indeed take a step back and pray for everyone and pray that somehow, some way, God will bring a blessing out of this. I'm praying as well just for the soul of this young man who did this thing. He graduated high school 2 years ago. What's going on with his mind and his heart and so on? His poor family now that has to live with this. So we're praying for the nation.
And also for the firefighter who laid down his life to cover and protect his wife and daughters.
Corey Comertori.
Right.
Comertori.
We pray for the repose of his soul and comfort to his family. Yeah. And just as for the entire nation, as we watched in shock and horror as to what was happening. And so we as a people of God, we need to be prayerful. We need to be hopeful. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus.
And other people were wounded as well. So we're praying for them. Everybody who was there must have been so traumatized. We were traumatized just watching the thing. And so, Lord, have mercy on the United States of America. Have mercy upon our political process. Renew the church to be the church and to pray at this time and to preach the message of peace and of love. So the church in the United States is in the midst of Eucharistic revival. How are you personally experiencing revival? 1-800-221-9460, 205-271-2980. Call us now. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, remember that we're taking your questions on our show today. So if you're watching, we are here very alive. It's Monday. Give us a jingle. 1-800-221-9460. Outside North America, you can reach us. 205-271-2980. And you can always send us an email with your question and your comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com and check us out on Facebook. So the question is this. The church in the United States is in the midst of an Eucharistic revival. How are you experiencing Eucharistic revival? And you could go out to ewtn.com/Eucharist. And there are resources there for you. And I do want to say, way back when on our show, we started advertising for the Eucharistic Congress that is going to take place in Indianapolis, Indiana, July 17th through the 21st. And we're hoping for those of you who are going that you will have a blessed and wonderful time. EWTN will be giving live coverage of it all. Yeah. And so if you can't get to go, you can watch it. I just want to say this little footnote. You know, I've been watching all the coverage that EWTN News Nightly has been doing with Monse Alvarado and with Catherine Hadro on Pro Life Weekly. And they've been doing the coverage from the pilgrimage of the Eucharist that where people have taken from the north, south, east, and west. And now they're going to converge on the Congress. And you know, there are people who are experiencing a revival through participating in the processions that are happening. And I think, and this is just Joy Pinto talking, I think what happened on Saturday night with that attempt of assassination on the former President Donald Trump, I think the prayers and the Eucharistic revival participation for the people, when we've never done this before in the United States. It's a really different time in which we're living. And I've lived long enough to see other presidents with assassination attempts, and you know it's just a miracle that they survived. Even Pope John Paul, right? And you live through that, and you see, you think, and that usually only happens when it's really a crazy time in our world. I think that's where we are. And more than ever, as a people of God, we need to be prayerful. We need to be fasting. We need to be feasting on the Eucharist for all the things that Jesus wants to do to us when we receive him. And where does the revival start? It starts with you and me, individually. When we receive the Eucharist, nobody can receive the Eucharist like you do. When you receive it, where are you going? Are you being taken up into heaven? I mean, for me, in the past couple of months, I've experienced some intercession that God has been doing with me after the reception of the Eucharist. And it's, I go into this deep intercession and it's beautiful and I love what God is doing. Yeah. So there are things, and I know my spirit is stirring and I'm excited about it. And I just surrender to whatever God wants to do in this process.
And we do want to hear from you, your experience with this revival, what's going on with you and the Holy Eucharist. But I do want to mention again the website. It's the landing page for the Eucharist, ewtn.com/Eucharist. And so there's all different sections to that. And one section speaks about experience of the Eucharist with EWTN, all EWTN resources. Learn about the Eucharist through history, scripture, and tradition. Understand the role of the Eucharist in today's world. Understand, so experience, learn, understand, and watch. All sorts of shows that are out about the Eucharist, and especially the live streaming coverage and live coverage with EWTN, the 17th through the 21st. And then there's also a section there about Eucharistic devotion, www.ewtn.com. You can get to that link through the link that we mentioned earlier, eucharist.com, ewtn.com.
/devotion.
Yeah, but you can get there through the Eucharist one too, okay. So it's part of the EWTN teaching series. And so there's a number of teaching series that are there. You were part of one of those series, Women Made New. And now there's a whole teaching series on the Eucharist. And for free, you can go there. You can get however many videos, 5 to 6 videos that are there, a little study guide. And you can walk with Father Wade Meneses through the Eucharist. and what the Eucharist is about and being revived in the Holy Eucharist. And then you've got teaching by Father Joseph Mary mm-hmm. Wolfe, his own testimony about E.W. 10 in his life, and really coming to renewal in the Eucharist through that, and finally becoming a priest.
And Mother Angelica and her love for the Eucharist.
So everything is there. Go to EW10.com/Eucharist, and there's all different news links that are there, and updates. And so be enriched. This would be great for homeschoolers to do with their children.
Mm-hmm. Families.
Part of your teaching. Mm-hmm. So EW10.com/Eucharist. There's a plethora of information. So we're speaking today about Eucharistic revival, which we've been in for 2.5 years. And we want to hear from you. Call us now or email us. Say what you've learned during this past 2.5 years, what you're looking forward to with the Eucharistic Congress coming up. Maybe you've borne witness to friends and family about the power of the Eucharist. Joy, I know for us, some time ago, we were a part of the EW10 family celebration mm-hmm. here in Birmingham. And the topic for that was, I am the bread of life. Mm-hmm. That was the topic. And we had the privilege of sharing on that topic and other wonderful speakers that were there. And that meditation, I am, so this is about the Eucharist and what we learned. That was so profound for us to meditate upon the fact that I am, that's how God called himself. What's your name? I believe it was Moses. Who are mm-hmm. you? And he says, I am who I am. Mm-hmm. I will be who I will be. So he didn't give like a definitive name. He just says, I'm so beyond everything, like it's incredible here. So I am. Who I am, I will be who I will be. So there's all these I am sayings, and Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Mm-hmm. You know, I am the good shepherd. I am. So Jesus is saying, I am with a face.
I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Jesus is what God looks like when he shows up. Mm-hmm. You know, so Jesus is the face. He is the I am, the one in divinity. I am the bread. So when we take the bread of life, when we take that bread, the Eucharist, which is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, when we meditated upon it, we had to speak about that, so mm-hmm. we had to have something to say, although no one could exhaust that, because he says, I am who I am, that when we receive the Eucharist, we receive the great I am. How humble he is to do this, to come into us, and we in him. And as Bishop Baker said, our bishop before this last bishop that we have, Reka, he said, Jim, if people understood what the Eucharist was about, what the sacrament was about, they would never leave the church.
That is
you would never leave mm-hmm. when you understand the creator of the universe and everything, the ultimate judge, the one of mercy, that you are receiving him. No one's worthy to receive the Lord except that he comes to us.
We have Claire on the phone. Claire, welcome to At Home with Jim and Joy. Your question or your comment?
Yes, I have a comment. We live in St. Catherine of Siena Parish in Metairie, Louisiana, on Bonneville Boulevard. And we have three dynamic priests. One of them actually belongs to a religious organization. They are always talking about how we should receive the Eucharist. And I'll offer that up for Christ's passion and think about that when we receive the Eucharist. And my husband and I receive the Eucharist 6 days a week. Mm-hmm. And I want to say that because people should realize how hard their priests work and help as much as they can. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Claire. So beautiful. And Claire, sounds like she's a daily communicant and she receives the Eucharist 6 days a week. And if you don't think that would change your life, that changes your life.
Yeah.
Become a daily communicant and see what happens to you.
You become what you're consuming.
You become right. what you consume. Or go to adoration daily, see what happens to you. And I pray during this Eucharistic revival time and during Congress. This special Eucharistic Congress that we're going to be experiencing, that all Catholics who have left the church, that they would just be drawn back. For all those who left the church who were starving for the Eucharist, and for all those that are in the church, that the Lord would give you eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to respond in pure love as you receive him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that he would just change you, because that's what he wants to do. That's the whole mission, that you become more like Jesus and less like you. That's the transformation that we're looking for. We're all sinners on a way to becoming holy and to become saints. That's the journey.
Give us a call, send us an email, Facebook us, and tell us what you're experiencing in the midst of this time of Eucharistic revival. We have a comment here. Praying a special, this is what this person's doing, I'm praying a special novena written by a Catholic prisoner. He wrote it especially for the 9 days before and a Thanksgiving novena to pray during the National Eucharistic Congress.
Beautiful.
This is Emma on Facebook.
Yeah, that is so beautiful, right? And those are things that we could be doing. You say, well, I can't get to go. What can I be doing? There are things that you could participate in. Certainly, keep it on EWTN, and you will be connected to it. You will be a part of everything that's happening.
Well, there's so much to share. Thank you for those comments that we've received. And let's cry out to the Lord. Lord, only the Lord could do revival. We can plan revivals. We could do teachings. That ain't revival. Revival is the Holy Spirit coming and opening up our eyes and our hearts and revivifying our spirits and opening our eyes more fully to the grace and mercy of Almighty God given to us in the Holy Eucharist, in the Holy Mass, in Eucharistic adoration. God bless you. We're going to come right back. There's plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, before we wrap up today's show, we're going to go to Rome to check in with beautiful Joan Lewis. Now, Joan's going to be sharing a report on the harrowing events that unfolded around President Donald Trump this last Saturday. Joan?
Well, greetings, Jim and Joy. As you all know, since Saturday afternoon, the world's attention has been riveted on a farm field in Pennsylvania, where a 20-year-old sniper attempted to assassinate former U.S. President Donald Trump as he was campaigning for re-election. Now, one bullet did graze Trump's right ear, causing a considerable blood flow, but because of a sudden turn of his head while he was speaking, the bullet actually missed killing him by just millimeters, and what several doctors on television interviewed afterwards called a medical miracle. In fact, one doctor, one well-known doctor, Mark Siegel, said, "It's a stirring sign from God that Trump survived this." Another doctor said, "The Almighty was smiling on him, and he works in strange ways." And those words kind of, this is what has most struck me the days since that event, that attempt on Trump's life, are the multiple references to religion that I have seen and read. I've heard them on television, I've seen them on Facebook and elsewhere. Religion, God, the hand of God, miracles, the need for prayer, so many references. In fact, on Facebook, yes folks, Facebook, there were a number of references to the powerful prayer to Saint Michael the Archangel. And one person even wrote, "Truly the Lord intervened." Now remember, we're not talking about a religious event with all these words. We are talking about an assassination attempt at a political rally. But here's what Donald Trump wrote on social media. He said, "Thank you to everyone for your thoughts and prayers yesterday, as it was God alone who prevented the unthinkable from happening. We will fear not, but instead remain resilient in our faith and defiant in the face of wickedness." Now, although Pope Francis did not refer to this on Sunday in his Angelus address, Holy See Press Office spokesman Matteo Bruni said, answering questions by journalists, he said, "The Holy See expresses its concern about last night's episode of violence, which wounds people and democracy, causing suffering and death. It joins the U.S. Bishop's prayer for America, for the victims, and for peace in the country, that the motives of the violent may never prevail." Now, if you'll indulge me just one more moment, one image that greatly circulated on the media, on the social media, was that of our Blessed Mother deflecting a bullet with her right hand. And when I saw that, I could not help but think of another assassination attempt on the 13th of a month, and that was May 13th, 1981, St. Peter's Square, when a would-be assassin wounded but did not kill Pope John Paul II, and I was there. I have to tell you, I was in the square, and I couldn't even process the words, "They've shot the Pope." Now, many times over the years, Pope John Paul spoke of that event, and he always gave tribute, if you will, to Mary for deflecting the bullet. On May 13th, in fact, 2001, at the ordination ceremony for a number of priests in the Diocese of Rome, John Paul said, "On the day on which we commemorate her apparitions in Fatima, I myself experienced her protection on May 13, 20 years ago." And in fact, you all know that Mary's appearances at Fatima always occurred on the 13th of the month. So what can I say but keep the faith, keep praying. Back to you.
Joan, thanks so much for your reflections. A wonderful report, as always. Join us next time for an interview with Julie Nelson about how women in the church can support and accompany one another through life. A lot of talk today about presidents, but only one presides. Jesus Christ presides over life and death, over human history, and the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. Let us humble ourselves before him and pray for repentance throughout the United States of America and the nations of the world, and renewal and revival, especially Eucharistic revival, within our country and throughout the world. Keep it on EWTN. God bless you. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.